Join us today for Saints and Sinners as we explore the history of saints and their walk from sinner to sainthood, especially those who walked the path of addiction. Let us not forget that every saint has a past and every sinner a future. Your hosts are Father Doug McKay and Ken Johnston.
And good afternoon and welcome to Saints and Sinners. Your host, Ken Johnston, and my good friend, Father Douglas Michael McKay. Hello, Father.
Hello, Ken, and hello to all of our listeners out there. And a graceful Holy Week and a happy Easter coming up.
Very good.
It'll be the best ever.
Amen. And Father, sounds a little bit different. I think this is the first time we're doing the show while you're at Malvern, Father.
Yeah, about that. Yeah. I'm on the porch, Ken, looking out at all the greenery here, waiting for the deer to come up and the birds.
Yeah.
It's a little rainy, but it's very peaceful, that out-of-the-way place.
Very good.
The Lord.
Very good. In addition to being the rector of Our House Ministries, he's also the rector of the Malvern Retreat House, St. Joseph's in the Hills. And our ministry, Our House Ministries, is a ministry that works with the addicted and anyone else who comes to us. You can learn more about the ministry at our website, ourhouseministries.org. We're also available to come out and speak at your parish or other group. Just get in touch with us through the Our House Ministries website or through Maureen here at In His Sign. One of the things you can do on that website is make donations, including sponsoring this hour. If you go out to ourhouseministries.org and click on the donate page, you'll see the option there to sponsor this particular hour. We got a couple of events coming up in the real near future now. On Wednesday of next week, April the 3rd, Kathleen McCarthy will be out at St. Robert Bellarmine Church in Warrington, Pennsylvania, and she'll be giving a talk entitled, Woman, Why Are You Weeping? Whom Are You Looking For? Again, that'll be next Wednesday, April the 3rd, 7 o'clock p.m. at St. Robert Bellarmine Church. Then on Sunday, April the 14th, one of our two annual fundraisers is our Wake Up America dinner. This year, the day is entitled Be Awake, Be Alert, Be Prepared. Again, this is going to take place on April the 14th from 1:30 to 5:30 in the afternoon out at the Malvern Retreat House. Kathleen McCarthy will be the keynote address speaker. We'll have a special guest in her son-in-law and son-in-love, Mark Houck, who's currently running for Congress. Our broadcasters will be there. We'll have a silent auction, drawings for raffle prizes, and it's always a great event. So if you haven't purchased your tickets yet, you can download the information from our website at inhissign.com. If you scroll to the bottom of the homepage, there's a link there to download the flyer that has all the details on it. You can also give Maureen a call here at 610-527-2906. We are looking for sponsors in addition to people to attend the event. It's $55 per person, $100 per couple, or $400 for a table of eight. So come on out and spend the afternoon with us. Our Matt Talbot Shrine in St. Gabriel's Church at the corner of 29th and Dickinson is open on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 9 a.m. until approximately 4:30 p.m. All are more than welcome to come down and pay Matt Talbot a visit at the shrine. On Tuesdays, we have a holy hour from 3 to 4, followed by Matt Talbot Novena prayers and benediction. And on Thursdays at 4 o'clock, a bunch of us get together and pray the rosary there at the shrine. If you're going to come down, be sure to get in touch with us before you do. You can get our contact information off the Our House Ministries website. We'd be happy to meet you over there. We'll note that it is closed tomorrow for Holy Thursday. There's no Mass tomorrow morning, so the church will remain closed until before the Mass of the Last Supper tomorrow evening. We're also starting to make plans for the centenary celebration of Matt Talbot, which will take place in 2025. We'll celebrate the 100th anniversary of Matt's passing on June the 7th of next year. We have two retreats coming up that you might be interested in. Father Chris Allar, Marian of the Immaculate Conception, will be the retreat director for the first annual Mother's Day retreat. That'll take place May 10th to the 12th. That's Mother's Day weekend out at Malvern. That retreat is for men and women. And my understanding is that families can come out on Sunday and join mom and dad for Mass. if they choose to do so. Also, my men's weekend is scheduled to be at Malvern, August 16th to the 18th. Our retreat director will be Father Bryce Lundgren, coming in from Cheyenne, Wyoming, to be our retreat director that weekend. He wrote a great book called The Catholic Cowboy Way, and be a little change of scenery for the Friel group, to have somebody young and new to Malvern to direct that retreat. So, without any further ado, let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
And the following is the prayer for Matt Talbot's canonization. Lord, in your servant Matt Talbot, you have given us a wonderful example of triumph over addiction, of devotion to duty, and of lifelong reverence of the Holy Sacrament. May his life of prayer and penance give us courage to take up our crosses and follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, if it be your will that your beloved servant should be glorified by your church, make known by your heavenly favors the power he enjoys in your sight. We ask this through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee, and for all those who do not have recourse to thee, especially the enemies of Holy Church and those recommended to you.
Our Lady of Recovery and St. Joseph in the Hills.
Pray for us.
Venerable Matt Talbot, St. Maximilian Kolbe.
Pray for us.
Our patron saints and guardian angels.
Pray for us.
And all the saints and angels.
Pray for us.
May the divine assistance remain always with us.
And may the souls of the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace. Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. All right. We are in Holy Week, and got started with Palm Sunday this past Sunday. Monday, the 25th, is normally the Solemnity of the Annunciation. And because it fell on Holy Week this week, it was pushed back to next Monday, April the 1st, so it'll actually fall in during the octave.
Feast day, April 1st.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What's
April
that?
April Fool's, a fool for Christ.
got me. Patrick's playing the drums over there. Ba-dum-bump. And interesting that even in the liturgical calendar, there aren't any saints in the calendar this week after the Annunciation. So today is the Wednesday in Holy Week, often referred to as Spy Wednesday. Tomorrow will be Holy Thursday. We'll have the Chrism Mass that will take place at the Cathedral. A lot of our priests here in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia will be in attendance to get their oils for the rest of the liturgical year. And then on Friday, we'll celebrate Good Friday and the veneration of the cross in most of our parishes on Friday afternoon. And then Saturday, Holy Saturday, we'll have the Easter Vigil and Saturday evening. Any parishes that have catechumens that are coming into the faith, either being baptized and confirmed along with the First Communion, where those that may have been baptized in other Christian denominations will be making their confirmation and First Communion, will be welcomed at the Easter Vigil. And then, of course, Sunday, we celebrate Easter Sunday. And so probably the most important week in the liturgical year. Of course, none of it could take place without the Annunciation and Christmas, the birth of our Lord, but certainly the next few days, referred to as the Triduum, is really the highlight, I think, for a lot of us of the liturgical year. I was sharing at Calyx last night. Father had the night off last night. Father Shea did a great job pinch hitting at Mass and wrapping things up for us at the end of the night. But sharing about the first year after I made a retreat in August of '93. I think it was in Lent of 94, where I actually made the first Triduum that I remember. I may have made it as an altar boy back in the day, but I'm not sure. But the first time, certainly as an adult, where I attended the Mass of the Last Supper on Thursday and the Veneration of the Cross on Friday, and then the Easter Vigil. And I think it's important that if you can, that you make all three and really set aside time. I try to set aside a lot of time on Friday to spend with our Lord and His Passion. And we'll actually be talking a lot about that today in the 5 o'clock hour with Peter De Palma. We'll be talking about Louisa Picaretta and her writing on the 24 Hours of the Passion. But to really immerse yourself into everything that the parishes are doing over the next couple of days. I know my home parish will have morning prayer and evening prayer on Friday and then morning prayer on Saturday. To even get involved in those as well and spend as much time at church and with our Lord as we can. I know it's made a huge difference in my own spiritual life. And I say that because I know, Father, we got some of Kathleen's followers who have probably been doing this for years, but you know, our friends that are in recovery that may have just be coming back to the faith or haven't had an opportunity to do it yet, to encourage them to attend as much as they can over the next couple of days. Father?
Yeah. Well, certainly this is loyalty week, Ken, that we be faithful to our Lord, who's always been faithful to us. Think of, you know, like this beautiful week of grace. It's all happening here. You know, we start out with Palm Sunday, and as you already mentioned, Holy Thursday, the institution of priesthood Thursday night, the institution of the Eucharist. You know, but I just wanted to start out by saying, Ken, maybe our Lent has not been as good as we wanted it to be. Maybe we broke our Lenten resolutions again and again, but we can make up for it this week. And there was a story that I heard about Loyalty Week, and it was about the Boxer Rebellion that took place in China in the year 1900. And it was an uprising largely against foreigners and Chinese Christians. The revolutionaries, they captured a mission school, and they blocked all the gates but one. On the ground in front of that gate, they laid a cross. And anyone who trampled on that cross could go free. Anyone who walked around it would be shot to death. The first seven students trampled on the cross, and they went free. The eighth one, a girl in her early teens, she knelt down before the cross, walked respectfully around it, and she was killed immediately. And all the rest of the 100 students followed her example. All were shot. Over 30,000 Chinese Christians chose death in 1900. Rather than to deny their master. So in the history of China and many other mission lands, millions have died for their faith in Christ. Loyalty Week, Ken. This is a time for us maybe to make up for our slack during Lent, you know, time to deny ourselves of ourselves, you know, and really celebrate this week. You know, what this week is all about, the church, it's all about the holy sacrifice of the Mass, you know. It's the sacrifice and the banquet. And because it's so rich, the church takes this week to break up these different beautiful aspects. But we do this at every Mass. Palm Sunday, we worship the King, Jesus the King. Well, we do that at every Mass. And we come to Holy Thursday. You have mentioned about the oils and the priests that gather tomorrow, you know, to renew our priestly promises. But then on Thursday night, we just focus in on the institution of the Holy Eucharist, when the Lord takes bread and wine and gives us a commandment, His last will and testimony. Take this, drink this. And then when He says, do this, He's telling us to do it to receive Him. But He's also saying to the priest, do this in memory of me. And that's the institution of the priesthood. It's our feast day tomorrow as priests. And then we come to Good Friday, and we just focus on the crucifixion of Jesus. We do that at every Mass. And, of course, we come to Easter Sunday, and then we focus on the Vigil Mass and then also on the resurrection of Jesus, that new life, that eternal life, what Easter is all about. So here we have this one week where we break up these different aspects and focus in on each different aspect. But we do this every single day. You know, we're really there, you know. In that upper room, not too long ago, we had the Chinakalum retreat group here. And Chinakalum really means synagogue. Chinakalum is Latin, synagogue is the English, and it means the upper room. It's the dining room. It's the upper room where the first Mass was celebrated, where the church, the first church was instituted, the first Mass, the last Mass was celebrated, the only Mass was celebrated. We're all in that upper room at every Mass. Jesus sees us. He reaches out to us. You know, extends his heart to us, feeds us. Real food and real drink, his own body and blood, to nurture us for our own upcoming moment, our hour when we will see the Lord and leave this world and go to him and go to that place that he has risen for us. So I guess I just want to start out, Ken. It's loyalty week. Maybe we weren't so loyal during our Lenten time, these past 40 days, but now it's just the time to give our hearts to the one who gives us his heart at every Mass. I just, before I put it back to you, Ken, here's a letter from our Lord Jesus that Mother Teresa of Calcutta would put out for Holy Week. And it says this: "Dear loved one, this week I ask you to spend some time with me, loving me as I seek to love you. I ask you to be with me in my woundedness, wounds that have come about because I have chosen to love both my Father and you, in spite of any circumstances that would have me do otherwise. In my loving, I have been wounded because I have not turned back, because I have laid down all my defenses and any protection that might shield me from the hurt. I've chosen to love, even when it's tough, even when it makes no sense to those outside my heart. It is my Father who beckons me to love so tenderly and compassionately, in the face of so much rejection, nonsense, and confusion. I watch my Father hold a broken, pain, suffering world to his heart, never giving up, never withholding his love, never ceasing his efforts to recreate with his love. And so I, too, outstretch my arms to embrace the pained, the wounded, the weak, the suffering. I seek to embrace you. I love you dearly. I will never cease to open my arms and my heart that so desire you to draw near. I am grateful that you have chosen to love me in return. I need your love, tough love, love that is willing to hold me in my woundedness. When I am hurting, when I'm rejected, when my body is messy and cut, can you love me that much, dear loved one? Can you let go of your defenses, your control, your protections that shield the hurt and hold me, the wounded Christ? The wounded body of Christ? And do you allow me to hold you, your pain, your anger, your longing, your fear, your love? Be free of my love. I will always be with you. I have loved you unto death. And remember that my wounds are my glory. They are eternal marks of my love, never to be forgotten or removed. For love is eternal. The wounds of love are eternal. And what you do in love for me, in love with me, can never be reversed or wasted. And so I ask you again, draw near, and let my mother and my closest friends hold my torn and wounded body whose heart is holding you. I love you always. Jesus, your Savior and dearest friend." So there it is, Ken, Loyalty Week. We have this opportunity to make this the best Holy Week ever, you know, just to go to the spiritual masses, you know, during Holy Week, especially on Holy Thursday, and then Good Friday and Easter Sunday. Show the Lord that he is the most important in our lives, who loves us so dearly, who gave himself up for us. We can give this week up for him, Ken.
Amen.
Amen.
And you mentioned a few minutes ago the Boxer Rebellion. I was reminded of St. Mark Xie. St. Mark Xie Ting Sing, who would be martyred as well during that Boxer Rebellion. That said, I kind of shared a little bit about it last night, but you know, when we get into the this Triduum, Holy Thursday, to place yourself there at the Last Supper, and we'll hear John's Gospel with the washing of the feet. And I know in my own parish, our pastor, Father Brand, will pick a few souls. I don't know if I think I got picked last year or the year before to get my feet washed It used to be a little bit different. They'd have put a bench up on the altar, and people would come forward, and he would wash the feet on the altar. Last year they changed it where he actually goes around to the pews, and you sit on the end of the pew, and he does it. But there's so many little details that we'll hear in the readings in the Gospels over the next couple of days that you can, and I'm sure there have been people that have spent a lifetime meditating on and writing about it. One of the beauties of the internet is, you know, all the resources that are available to us in order to help us dive deeper into, you know, what actually took place over those couple of days in our Lord's life. And certainly, like I say, starting it off with the Last Supper, and I guess it was Mass this morning, Spy Wednesday, when Jesus gives Judas his morsel, and Satan enters him, and it, just these little tidbits that the gospel writers have included. And then so many writings that are out there details that were not included in the Gospels. I'm thinking of Anne Catherine Emmerich and the Dolorous Passion that was used as a basis for Mel Gibson's production of the Passion. Louisa Picaretta, like I said, that we'll talk about in the 5 o'clock hour and the 24 hours of the Passion. And a couple of years there, I used Father Cannella Mesa, who was the preacher to the papal household for a number of years, and may still be, I'm not certain, but he had a great book on the seven last words of Jesus on the cross, and a number of writers have written about those last seven words. I think Bishop Barron, Fulton Sheen, and others. So all this material that we have available in order to dive deeper. And I just know for myself in the last couple of years, spending time with the Passion and reading about what Jesus actually went through. And, you know, sometimes we, you know, walk into churches now and you see the crucifix, and at least in the Catholic churches, we still have the corpus on the cross. You know, our Protestant brothers and sisters, for whatever reason, have decided to have a bare cross, maybe to indicate the resurrection. I'm not sure. But even with the body of Jesus that we see on our crosses, a lot of them have no blood at all. A couple of them, like especially the ones I think that Bill Walter touched up for us down at the ministry, I think all of them have at least a little bit of blood on them. But by the time Jesus got there, he was just a bloody mess. They had, you know, scourged them multiple times with multiple different types of torture devices, and crowned him with thorns and dragged us and carried his cross to Calvary. And it was interesting to me last night in yesterday's gospel that, when all is said and done and Jesus dies, and I guess it was the gospel from Sunday that we read last night at Calyx, the Passion, where, you know, Pilate was surprised that Jesus was dead already. And it's like, didn't he see Jesus before he left after the scourging and the crowning? And then he was going to carry the cross. I'm surprised after all that he actually made it to Golgotha, made it to Calvary and was able to be crucified. And, I've written about it the last couple of weeks on my Substack account, notsaintsyet.substack.com. Do we really know how much Jesus loves us? And if you're not sure that you're loved, and if you're not certain that you're loved, you need to get deeper into, what our Lord went through in order to open the gates of heaven to each and every one of us. And you talk about, he didn't just lay down his life. He laid down every drop of blood, every raw nerve in his body, that experienced the unbelievable pain that he experienced. And, you say it all the time, Father, he'd never do it for a pack of animals, but he would do it for his brothers and sisters. And you can't help but come away from that knowing, hopefully, how much God actually loves you.
You know, Ken, too, I keep thinking of this. This kind of blows my mind. If I were the only one, he would have done it for me and for each and every one of us. It is so personal. And I think God the Father, just one of us, is worth more to him than the whole universe. I mean, to try to, that unfathomable mystery, to try to really grasp that, how special each and every one of us are, that he's the one who creates us by name. He saw the whole thing about us. And getting to that, you know, the Last Supper room there, you know, I always like this. It's a little humorous story, but it was the Last Supper, and the waitress comes and hands Jesus the bill. And Jesus takes the bill. He says, "What?" And he looks down that Judas had left. Peter's going to deny him, you know, and all the other apostles are going to abandon him. And he looks at the bill, and he looks at them, and he says, "Separate checks, please." But he didn't do that.
Yeah.
You know, if I were the only one, he paid my bill,
right.
My entire bill. He paid that price just for me and just for each and every one of us. And that's his nature. This is our God that hangs on that cross on that Good Friday. The nature of Jesus Christ is to save us. Our fallen nature was to sin. His nature is to save us from our sin, not to punish us because of sin, but to save us from the punishment due to sin. This is the God that's outrageously in love with us. And this, you know, the story just comes to mind about a scorpion. And there's a man who's trying to, he sees a scorpion that's tangled up in a bush, and he's trying to undo the scorpion to save the scorpion's life. And all the time, the scorpion is stinging the man in the wrist of his hand. And the passerby comes by and says, "What are you doing there? You know, that scorpion's going to kill you." And he said this: "The nature of the scorpion is to sting. My nature is to save." There's the nature of the Lord, you know, to save us from all of our sins, because we are not our sins or our shortcomings or our character defects. We belong to Jesus. He loves us. He's outrageously, extravagantly in love with us. I mean, it's just to fathom this. And when we come to that experience that, you know, it's personal. It's like you say, Ken, you look at that crucifix and you see those lacerations on him, or that scourge Christ, that statue. Mm. So my God, you did this for me. Ask for what you want. I want to do everything for you. Because, you know, I'm stuttering here. You know, it's like I don't know what. The whole thing here is that while I was in my sins, he died for me. When I was his enemy, he died for me. Can you think of a story where, I don't know, it's often heard that a good man would die for an innocent man. But for a good man to die for a guilty man, that's what Jesus did. While we're in our sins, he dies for us. An example would be that during World War II, if you can imagine this, the Germans are in a foxhole with their machine gun, and an American soldier throws a grenade into that foxhole, and the American jumps into the foxhole and jumps on that grenade with his helmet to save the Germans, to save the enemies. I mean, that's unheard of. But yet, this is what Jesus did. While we were yet sinners, his enemies, he died for us to take away the sin, the guilt, the shame, and to show us who we really are. When he hung from the cross and looked down at the very ones, you know, who lacerated him, spat on him, stripped him in front of his mother, you know, played him like a fish. He says, "Father, forgive them," and makes excuses for they don't know what they're doing. What was he forgiven? Not the evil, not the sin, because that's not who we are. I am not my sins. I am not my shortcomings or character defects. I'm in the image and likeness of God. I'm his child. And that's what Jesus was forgiven. Them, not their evil acts, but them, his brothers and sisters. God, how he looks beyond our sinfulness, our shortcomings, our character, and he sees us as his children. Wow, what love. Love, you know, and that's how God loves us. He laid down his life for us while we were yet sinners, so that we may have life and have it eternally with our Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I mean, it's this, the older I get, the more I look more deeply into this intimacy that God has for us. It's like Jesus stands before us and he says, "Intimacy, the love I have for you." And if we could see that love, we won't sin anymore. I will be receiving that grace every time, because I have a choice now. Jesus Christ died a criminal death, so I don't have to sin. I'm more gracer than I am a sinner. And I said this again and again. As I get older, there's more good in us than evil or bad or sins. And that's the image and likeness of God. We're baptized, not in pickle juice, but in the Trinity, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. God abides in us. So because of that, I'm more of a gracer than a sinner. I'm a gracer who sins, not a sinner who finds grace, but a graceful person who falls in and finds that forgiveness and mercy again and again and again. Oh, this Paschal mystery, what it all means, who we are, where we come from, where we're going, and where we belong with the Father, the Father, the Father. Amen.
Amen. And that brings us to the bottom of the hour. I just realized I don't think I gave out the phone numbers at the beginning of the show. We'll give them out now. I want to have our Honor God segment, but we need your calls in order to do it. The phone numbers are 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906, or call us toll-free at 888-343-2484. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio on WTMR 800, Camden, Philadelphia. Listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
And welcome back to Saints and Sinners, your host Ken Johnston and Father Douglas Michael McKay. And a quick rundown on the Calix units in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia and nearby Wilmington, Delaware. Calix is a great organization for Catholics and 12-step programs, where our motto is, "We substitute the cup that sanctifies for the cup that stupefies." Now, we get together every Tuesday in the Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia. Most Tuesdays, we are in the Matt Talbot Chapel at the corner of 29th and Dickinson Street, directly across the street from St. Gabriel's Church. We get started at 6 o'clock p.m. with a short adoration period, followed by Mass and then our Calix meeting. On the third Tuesday of each month, it's Matt Talbot Tuesday, and we have a holy hour over in St. Gabriel's Church from 6 to 7, where we offer prayers to for Matt Talbot and through Matt Talbot. And then we have Mass at 7 o'clock. All are welcome. The intention of the Mass is always for all those that are in recovery from addiction, those that need to be in recovery from addiction, and those that love them. The third Tuesday in April will be April the 16th, so come on down and join us. The Unit at Queen of the Universe in Levittown meets on the first and third Thursday of each month at 7 o'clock in the Parish Center. Their next meeting will be next Thursday, April the 4th. The Glenside Unit, my home parish of St. Luke the Evangelist in Glenside, meets on the third Saturday of each month. We go to the 8:30 Mass Saturday morning, followed by our Calix meeting It will be in Glenside on Saturday, April the 20th. We have a unit at Malvern Retreat House, and they meet on the third Sunday of the month. They have Mass at 4 o'clock in St. Joe's Chapel, followed by refreshments and then a Calyx meeting. The third Sunday in April will be April the 21st. And in nearby Wilmington, Delaware, there's a Calyx unit that meets at St. Matthew's every Wednesday for 6:15 p.m. Mass, followed by a Calyx meeting. The 5 o'clock hour today, I'm going to be joined by Peter DePalma. It'll be Divine Will Wednesday, and we'll be talking about Luisa Picaretta's volume called The 24 Hours of the Passion, so you'll want to stick around for that. Without any further ado, we're going to go to the phones, and we've got Frank. Hello, Frank.
Hey, Ken. How you doing?
All right, brother. Happy Easter.
You too. Happy Holy Week. Happy Easter to you, Ken Johnson, Bob Douglas, Michael McKay, and Captain Lou Campion. And a great listening audience from Maine to Maui, from Anchorage to Miami, from Fargo to Dallas, that covered them all.
Yeah. And we even had, the last couple of weeks, we've had a caller from London over in England, UK, so.
I was going to say, and the illegals, if they're listening to
them. Yeah, don't go there.
Why not?
Okay. How you doing?
Well, better than okay. I'm doing really good.
Good.
I called in 2 weeks ago. I said that last week I would have a big announcement. Do you remember that?
Yep.
Or no? Well, last week they changed my doctor's appointment. That's why I was at the doctor's. I couldn't call. So I'm a week late. Are you listening, Father Doug?
I am.
The big announcement. Don't get excited. I'm not moving, okay? Last Thursday, March 21st, 2024, I celebrated 4 years with no booze. 4 years. 4 years. Alcohol-free, right. Nothing, zero zilch.
Way to go, God.
I thanked him first. Yeah. I thanked him first, and I forget the order, but I know Captain Lou, he told me about you two guys before I got sober, because I was listening to you guys for a couple of years. I was, you know, a couple of days here, a couple of months there, you know, drinking in between. But I've been listening to you for a long, long time. And I mean, I said, I tried everything. Well, Captain Lou's suggestions, he wanted me to do rehab again. I'm not doing it. He told me disease of mind, body, and soul. Okay, then. You don't do rehab. Go to church every day, exercise every day, and go to meetings every day. That's what I did. But it was like two or three meetings a day in the beginning. And I don't know why Father Doug and Ken, the first anniversary, I don't think it was going to happen. Year two and year three, I forget what happened. I think it was no big deal. But last week, I was looking forward to last week for 2 weeks. I was so excited about it. That ever happened to you? Is like one anniversary seems more important than another one?
No.
I mean, I'm early. I only got 4 years.
Yeah.
Year two, the first one, I never thought it happened. But year two and year three, I didn't care about it. It was a regular day.
Yeah.
But last week, I wanted that one so bad. I don't know why. But whatever. Calling to say thanks, guys, for helping me during those times. And anyone listening, it can be done. When I was at AA meetings, I said Frank alcoholic. But then I called myself, I'm Frank, I'm a low bottom drunk, because that described me. I was worse than alcoholic. I was really, really down. I was bad. Everything. We all have stories, but you know.
Yep.
I never thought I'd be able to stay sober. And thanks a lot, guys.
I remember those days, Frank, and the struggles and what a difference it is to hear you today. You know, I know you still have your struggles, but man, the calls these days are more upbeat than downbeat, so praise God.
I'm sure you heard it in meetings. We all hear the same things, different spaces. It's a lot easier to get sober than to stay sober.
Well, yeah, and part of that, and they don't talk about it a whole lot in the rooms, is you know, now you're involved in spiritual warfare. And there's a low, you know, we talk about the higher power all the time, but people don't like to talk about the lower power that doesn't want you to stay sober.
And hey, Captain Lou, he's always telling me, that's the devil talking you, devil's talking you.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. And he didn't have to talk to you before because you were under his spell. Now that you're not under his spell anymore.
Captain Lou says he's working overtime. He's working overtime on you.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep. I said, he ain't getting me. I said, I got too much God in my life. I pray every day. What is a rosary for land? I'm doing 4 rosaries, listening to every week, around the radio, other things. two masses on Sunday, daily masses when I can, pretty much like 5 days a week. Yeah. Confession, once a month, whatever. I listen to the Holy Stuff all the time. I pray no less than twice a day. I got God in me.
Amen.
The devil's not welcome. He's like, he can knock on my door. I don't care. I ain't looking out the window. I ain't picking through the people. Nothing. Zero.
All right, pal.
He's not getting in. Yeah. Have a good one, guys.
Hey,
thank you. Happy Easter.
Hey, Frank.
Yes.
Frank, when the devil knocks at your door, let Jesus answer.
There you go.
How's it going?
Say this to you. I wanted to say this to you.
He's my main bodyguard.
You shared, listen to me. I'm glad you shared your faith, and I want to say something. You said sobriety, and that's great. That's the first step, sobriety. Without sobriety, there's no second step. But the second step is sanctity, and that's what you've been working on. And that'll keep you sober. That'll keep you holy, close to the Lord, and away from Satan and his kingdom, and in the kingdom of God, in the glory and the peace and the joy that we don't find in a bottle, a syringe, a joint, or anywhere else, but only in our Lord, who comes to us to give us the complete joy, the fullness of life, eternal life with our Father. So keep up that good work, Frank, and keep sharing
your
message.
Thing. I'm sorry.
People are hearing you.
I want to thank
if you can do it, anybody can do it, right?
Right. Father Doug, I want to thank the late, he passed away about 2 years ago, Father Stephen Wetzel. He was FOP chaplain. He passed away.
Yes,
told me,
great
pray,
guy.
Hope, don't worry, from Padre Pio.
Yeah.
He helped me a lot during those hard times.
Very good. All right, Frank. Thanks for the call. We'll see you.
Thanks, Frank. Happy Easter. Happy Holy Week.
All right, and we got another caller on the line, and Patrick's got a message up here that Joe's trying to get through, so we do have a line open. Hello, Bob.
Hello.
All the way from Fruitland Park.
Yes, it is. Yep.
How you doing, brother?
Fruitland Park, where it's raining right now.
Yeah, it's raining here, too, so, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it always rains. I used to think that it was miraculous as a child that it always rained on Good Friday. But then I realized Good Friday usually comes in April, which is the rainiest month of the year.
Yeah. And so, it used to rain
anyway,
on Thursday.
Go ahead.
Sorry.
I know today's always Thursday. Well,
No.
But you will get a lot of rain expected tomorrow.
Yeah. No, I had a...
My God, but God.
Yeah. Go ahead.
It's automotive. I had a lot of dental work done yesterday. And after the dentist, I went up to... Lady Lake to St. Timothy's to do my holy hour. And when I came out, I realized they didn't give me the sheet, to what I'm supposed to do after, because they pulled a lot of teeth and stuff. So I went back to the dentist. I backed into the parking spot, and I heard a snap, and my serpentine belt came off. My one of the pulleys, the pulley for the power steering broke. So for me, the odd but God is it happened right there. It could have happened out on the highway. God just always does that to me. Well, my car's going to break down. He puts me in a parking spot. He puts me where I'm safe. And then I call AAA, and it's all taken care of,
Yeah. How about that? Yeah, good stuff. What I was going to say with the rain, I had a paper route when I was a kid. It was a weekly paper. We delivered it on Thursdays. And I think it rained more on Thursday than any other day of the week. It seemed like every Thursday I was getting drenched delivering a paper. But anyway, yeah.
Yep. Can I make a comment real quick outside the odd but God? The road to Emmaus, when Jesus teaches the two disciples, that he goes all the way back to the beginning. I mean, I saw it today in the readings. It's, Isaiah, it said, I gave my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who plucked my beard. My face I did not shield from buffets and spitting. And that was the crowning with thorns. They did all that,
Mm-hmm.
And then even the responsorial psalm, it said, rather they put gall in my food, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. Because I used to be confused when Jesus would say, are they unaware that, the Messiah, that it's, haven't they read that it's written that the Messiah must suffer? And I'm saying, well, where's it written? Here it is.
There it is. Amen. And then, like you said, the road to Emmaus, it all comes clear. And then even more so with the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. So,
I wanted to comment on the...
Hold on, Bob. Go ahead, Father.
Yeah, I wanted to comment on the Emmaus walk. He's walking down with the two disciples, and he's actually talking about everything about himself, the Old Testament, the fulfillment of it all. That's what we do at every Mass. We do the Old Testament readings. And then he comes up to the breaking of the bread. And he disappears. And they recognize him in the breaking of the bread. That's the Mass. That's the whole structure of the Mass is the Emmaus story. You know, so again, you know, Holy Week, it's all about the holy sacrifice of the Mass and the banquet. It's about going home. But I'm glad you mentioned the Emmaus walk, because my IR guy was, you know, I was so struck with that when we learned about that in the seminary. And I was, you know, it was the end of the year, and I'm cleaning out my cards and all, getting ready to move, you know, move to go home. And as I'm telling that story, burning with the Emmaus walk, were not our hearts burning within us, as he told us that. And my heart's burning as I'm telling this story to the person who's in front of me, Dr. Lowry, you know. And all the time, I'm holding one of the cards in my hand that I'm throwing out. And here on the card is the Emmaus story, the Emmaus walk. I said, man, that was way back in the late 70s, and that was an honor God. But again, the Lord wants to know the holy sacrifice of the Mass. It goes on for all time. And it's heaven on earth. Heaven can't wait for us. So we have the Mass. It comes down, forgives our sins, Christ destroys our death, and we're raised up to the Father. So thanks, Bob. Thanks for calling in and, you know, for mentioning the Emmaus.
I think you pointed it out to me once, Father, too, that as amazing as the Bible study was on that road trip, what was more important was the breaking of the bread. They didn't recognize it until the breaking of the bread. And that's what separates us from every other church, you know.
And that's the Holy Eucharist. That's what the Mass was called in the beginning. It was called the Breaking of the Bread.
Oh, wow.
It was the first title of the Mass, the Breaking of the Bread. That's what the apostles called it.
All right, Bob. Well, always good to hear from you, brother. Wish you a happy Easter.
Thank you very much.
And we'll catch up soon.
Hey, Bob.
Take care.
Yeah, same sentiments again. But when you say wow, W-O-W, it's what the Mass is. Wow. Without words. Okay.
All right. All right. Thanks, Bob. And we got one more caller on the line, and we're going to go to Joe. Hello, Joe.
Hi, Father. Hi, Ken.
How you doing, brother?
Hi, Joe.
Good, my buddy. How's everybody?
All right. This is Joe from Thursday morning, Father.
Oh, Joe Jewell. Okay.
Yeah.
That's it.
Hey, happy fourth anniversary. 4 days.
What's that? Yeah, 4 days, right? Father, I enjoyed that joke you told, and I especially like the end where you said you're paying next week.
I'm always paying.
Oh, here we go again.
Oh,
is it my turn again?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had an out of God. My whole life's been an out of God experience, to tell you the truth. Amen. And you know, I'm back into the faith with you guys and feeling better than ever. And I once had a problem, but it was something always in my head, like why do you pray to the Blessed Mother? And you know, you hear that Protestant stuff saying, and I never believed it in my heart, but my head used to talk to me. But you know, I go through it. I do it anyway, and I say my rosaries and whatnot. And comes time for the wedding, and we have to pick out the readings. So I tell my wife, "Go ahead, pick what you want," and then she picks out the readings. And the gospel I wanted to do when it got counted, but it said the preacher usually picks this part, so I just let it go. So the windup was he picked that gospel. And he read it, and after we went through the practice, and I talked to him, and we were talking about the feast, and I didn't ask the question. He said to me, he said, "You know why this gospel is so important?" And I asked him why. He said that, what did Jesus say to his mother? He said to her, "You know, woman, why are you bothering me? My time is not yet come." It wasn't his time to do a miracle, but she interceded for us. And he did it anyway. And, like, I got chills.
Mm.
Like, I got my answer. And the faith, you know, overtook everything, no doubt, no nothing. And I knew that it was the right thing. And it was a beautiful ceremony. I got to marry the love of my life. And it's just been great, man, since I've been sober, since I've been hanging out with you guys. And it's just a blessing. And I want to thank you.
I want to thank you, Joe. You're a blessing in our life, too. You know, we all do this thing together. Some people may be a little bit further along, but we do it together. So thank you for being part of it, Father.
Yes, Joseph, congratulations there on the sacrament of matrimony. I was thinking, Joe, what you were saying with the Blessed Mother, and what came to mind was, you know, the last seven words, you know, from Jesus from the cross. You know, they were pretty much statements, except for one. One was a commandment. And the church always understood this one. When Jesus said to John, behold your mother, mother, behold your son, that was a commandment. And the church always understood that he was talking to me and you from the cross. Behold your mother, Douglas, Mother Mary. Mother, behold your son, Douglas. So that's what I was thinking of, you know, the last somewhere. That hit me maybe a couple months ago, that, gosh, they were all statements. You know, I thirst, and, you know, this day you'll be with me in heaven. But that one was, behold your mother, a commandment. He's asking us. It's important that we go to Mary because she brings us home to her son, to the Father, to the glory, to risen life, to eternal life, with God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Thanks for calling in, Joseph. God bless.
Amen. See you guys.
All right. Happy Easter, Joe. Yep, you too. Take care now. And while we're on the phone with Joe, we actually got another caller. Father, we're going to go to Diane. Hello, Diane.
Hey, how are you?
All right, how are you?
Diane King.
Wonderful.
Hi, Diane.
What's going on?
Two people talk. I wanted to address this to Father. This is Diane. Father, I had texted you. You returned my call. And is it odd or God? I did my confession, and at the end of confession, Father, you know, I asked him where he was from, and he told me South Philly, and I asked him if he knew you, and he said, oh my goodness, you know, like you, I forget what he said, but you were united so together as one, you know, that
brothers.
You're brothers, of course, you're brothers in the seminar, but you are more than that, and his name was Peter Welsh. And because I knew my parish only has one priest, and it's Father John. And for me to walk in, and you knew the fear I had, and I don't know, I just felt ever so blessed to be, because I wanted a certain priest, and he wasn't there, so I picked the next priest, and it was the right priest. Not that any of them weren't going to be right, but he was the right one for me.
Diane, that was God or God. And, you know, when we were at Calix at church and we're hearing confessions and it was time for me to go up and do adoration, the music stopped. And I said, well, it has to be a quick one, Diane. You said, well, it's been a long time. And I said, well, we'll make another appointment because I don't want to be quick if it's been a long time. And I know you were kind of like little anxious about going to confession and that sort of thing. And then I remember calling you and telling you, you know, that I've really been praying that God would send the best possible priest. And Father Welsh was the priest you were meant to meet Jesus in that confessional. And I meant to get back to you, but that was so powerful for me listening to that. And that was truly an honor of God. And it was all God, Diane. So let me know that.
It really was.
Father Peter Welsh. He's a great priest, you know. I don't know what to say. You know, I see Jesus in him so much. I want to say he's the holiest person I know on the planet Earth. You know, so you really meant a holy priest there, and that Jesus himself.
Yeah.
I know it took an hour, so you would have had the church waiting a long time.
Yeah. God, it was meant to be, Diane.
I'm sitting here listening to you. And listening to Ken and being invited here, and it just is it's a gift, and I am gonna follow this week out all the way, you know, and I just wanted to tell you how much I appreciated it.
Beautiful.
Yeah, thank you so much for the call, Diane, and it's just a testament to how we help one another and how powerful those sacraments can be. And you know, we have that invitation, and now that you've got over the hump, and it sounds like it was the first time you went in quite a while. You know, you can go on a regular basis now and get that spiritual bath on a more frequent basis, and there's nothing better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Amen.
So happy Easter, Diane. Thanks so much for the call.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.
Thanks, Diane. How much time we have, Ken?
About 4 minutes.
Any other calls?
Nope.
I have a couple. I don't know if I'll get them both in. Let me get this one in, Ken, because this is very powerful for me. I was hearing confessions on Friday at St. Pat's here at Malvern, and I picked up this book. It was 30-Day Eucharistic Revival by Donald Calloway. And I'm reading, I'm waiting for the penitents to come in. And all of a sudden, this woman comes in, and she said, "Oh, Father." And here I'm looking up, and it's Grace Shea, you know, for the listeners.
Oh, yeah.
It's Shea Funeral Home, you know. And I would say, "Oh, Grace, this is really not our God." She said, "Father, you won't believe it. I was going to another priest, and this usher came over to me and said, Father's in there waiting for penitents. You may as well go in there. And here you are." And we were sharing, I was, you know, telling them about the funeral home and all the wonderful blessings there, and how Bill is still interceding for us, and that you and Bill buried the dead, and we're raising the dead left and right. But here's the honor of God. It was an honor of God for her. But the one for me was, she's looking at the book in my hand, the 30-day. She said, "Father, I've been reading that book." But prior, before she came in, I opened up the book, and it was page 32. And it said, reflection questions, and I'm reading these. And the first one was, "Why did our Lord choose the Holy Eucharist to show us his love?" And, you know, I'm reading this, and then all of a sudden, Grace comes in, and, you know, I shut the book. It's still in my hand. And after the confession, she said, "You know, Father, that's one of my favorite books. And chapter 3 was one of my favorite chapters." And she left, and I said, "Chapter 3, I wonder what chapter page 32 was on." And here it was chapter 3. And I said, "Well, I got to read this now." So I just want to read one line because it's about Holy Thursday.
Okay.
It says this: "Have you ever picked up a cute little baby and smothered it with kisses, making unintelligible, nonsensical noises as you pretend to eat the baby, nibbling on the infant's chubby, a little belly? Sure you have. We all have. Did you perhaps also say to the child as you tickle him, 'I'm going to eat you up'? Yes, I am. Yes, I am. You probably have. We all have enough common sense, however, to know that such expressions of love and affection are crazy and not meant to be taken literally. In other words, we don't eat babies. Nobody in their right mind would do that. That's bad, really bad. But this crazy expression of love does convey something amazing about how much God loves us and wants to be consumed by us." It's like, where's babies? You know, like, he's crazy about us. Outrageously, you know, he wants to eat us up. He wants us to eat him up. He wants to be one with us. And that's Eucharist, okay?
Amen.
That was my honor of God, with Grace coming in, but also to pick up that book and to read what she said was her favorite chapter about Jesus's personal love for each and every one of us.
Amen.
So that was my honor of God. You got time for another one?
Yeah, you got about a minute.
Yeah, the other one was today, as we often do, Michael Norton and Mary B. D'Amico, we always have like a holy hour together here in the little house here, you know, Heaven's Gate, we call it. And the quiet time, you know, we start having similar experiences when we're praying. And as I'm sitting in front of the Eucharist, I have this beautiful sense, you know, when I'm reading the the Latin for the closing of the benediction there, Salutaris, you know, and then Tantum Ergo at the end. And all of a sudden, I'm brought back to with my mother as a toddler at a novena when Father is doing this on the altar with the Blessed Sacrament on the altar. And I'm having this experience that this is really Jesus. It's indelible in my heart, and I'm a toddler. I thought that something special is happening here. Something's happening. And so I was sharing that with him, and then Michael shares his experience of being in the upper room and Mary D'Amico about her first Holy Communion. And it was like the Lord just hitting us left and right in that one room, that holy hour, that real presence of his. He was just inundating us with this real presence and blessing us with these graces and giving us this beautiful gift of memory. That memory is so precious, Ken. You know, I always thought of memory, like revisit me, think of the good times. revisit me or respect me, think again of all the times that. But memory is to take us back and remember the word of God. We're in that upper room. We're at the crucifixion. We're next to Mary. And to remember that, it brings us back because Jesus is bringing us there, because that is so personal for each and every one of us now and forever and ever and ever. Memory is such a beautiful gift, and we abuse it with impurity, images, you know, thinking material things. Memory is meant to remember what he done for us on the cross, and that he gave himself in Holy Communion. He died for us to remember that rose so that we follow him home to the Father, to the Father, to the Father again. So I'm glad I got this two in.
Amen. Father, all right. We're past the hour, so just a quick blessing, Father, if you would.
Oh, okay. All right. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Father, thank you for this holy week, for sending your Son, showing us who we are, where we're going, where we belong with you. So bless us all real good with complete joy and a happy Easter. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks for the extra time, Ken.
All right, Father, happy Easter, pal. Hopefully I'll probably talk to you between now and then, but be good.
All right.
All right. Bye-bye now. For our listeners, Peter DePalma is already on the line, so we're going to take a short break. And when we come back, it'll be Divine Will Wednesday, and we'll be talking about Louisa Picaretta and the 24 Hours of the Passion. Don't go away.